From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Five leading institutions worldwide, including NASA, the NOAA, and the UK's Hadley Centre, recently jointly concluded that the year 2018 was the fifth straight year of warming temperatures. The years 2014 to 2018 have been the five warmest years in recorded history. NASA has also found that 18 of the 19 warmest years on record were after the year 2000. In other words, the planet is undeniably warming. There can be no more greater evidence of it than what the agencies found. Well, on Thursday morning, New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey formally introduced a resolution on the Green New Deal to move toward a green economy through a massive jobs program. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, however, threw cold water on it, saying in an interview with Politico on Wednesday, quote, "It will be one of several or maybe many suggestions that we receive. The Green Dream, or whatever they call it, nobody knows what it is, but they're for it, right?" Well, plenty of people do know what it is and why they're for it. One of them is my guest, Varshini Prakash. She's the founder of the Sunrise Movement, which has been one of the key grassroots organizations pushing for the Green New Deal on the ground. Welcome back to the program, Varshini.
Hi, Sonali. Thank you so much for having me.
So we had had you on last time to talk about the kind of activism that had been laying the groundwork for what took place Thursday. On Thursday, Representative Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Markey introduced this resolution. Specifically, what is this resolution? What exactly does it entail in terms of if it were to become law, what would happen?
Yeah. So the resolution is essentially a vision-setting document for a 10-year plan that would transform every part of our economy and society, a mobilization essentially at a scale that we haven't seen since the World War II era, to get our country to 100% renewable and clean energy, to mandate that every person who wants or needs a job can have one doing the critical work of averting climate catastrophe, and that such a transition must ensure that communities on the front lines of poverty and pollution are included as a just transition for these workers and communities, and also that any plan centers racial and economic equity. So this is a resolution of the most ambitious climate plan that we have ever seen in American history, and it's a monumental effort that has already gained 67 co-sponsors in the House, up to 12 senators, five of whom are in fact running to be the Democratic nominee for president in 2020.
So this is a document that is encompassing a vision. If it were to pass from it, or it would be the basis for then more detailed resolution to actually make it a reality, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, to think about how we would actually go about making the transformational changes we need to stop the climate crisis, we could go back into our history and look at the original New Deal, which was a massive and sweeping set of reforms, policies, programs that were passed over a decade of time under FDR. And these were things from improving, expanding, creating social security, to improving labor and working conditions, increasing the minimum wage, putting millions of people to work after the Great Depression, and lots, lots more. The difference now is that the Green New Deal would tackle the twin crises of our lifetimes, the climate crisis and also rampant and nauseating levels of wealth inequality in this country, and would really center racial justice, which was something that the original New Deal really failed to do, and in fact, even exacerbated existing differences amongst racial groups in this country. So we're seeing that something like a Green New Deal resolution is going to chart a blueprint for the nation, but in actuality, the 1,000 pages of legislation that's going to be needed to be written for a smart grid or for how we actually create more electric vehicles, or how we do sustainable agriculture practices and more, those are going to be different pieces of policy and legislation that roll out over years of time. But this is setting a framework that says incremental policies are not enough. Half measures, half-baked solutions are not enough. We need to push for something much, much bigger.
I want to put forward several critiques that have come forward and ask you to respond to them. Well, of course, first of all, I mentioned how Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who, you know, has a good relationship with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And in this interview that I mentioned, she said, you know, it's a green dream or whatever they call it. Nobody knows what it is, but they're for it, right? And here's a video it's a clip from the press conference on Thursday where Ocasio-Cortez was asked to respond to it. And I thought her response was really interesting.
Are you offended that Speaker Pelosi called this the green dream?
No, I think it is a green dream. And I think that it is. And I think that all great American programs, everything from the Great Society to the New Deal, started with a vision for our future. And I don't think that, I don't consider that to be a dismissive term. I think it's a great term.
A clip of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Thursday responding to Nancy Pelosi's seemingly dismissive comments about the Green New Deal. Does it help, Varshini, to have somebody who's so able to, you know, just so nimble at being able to respond to criticisms from the right and from the center in her own party? I mean, I thought her response was genius.
Yeah, that's exactly the word that I was going to use. I mean, she's incredibly adept at communicating. And one of the things I'm most impressed by how Representative Ocasio-Cortez has approached all of this is actually talking about it in plain terms and explaining to the American people the way in which something like a Green New Deal is actually going to impact and improve working people's lives, from job creation to reducing toxic pollution and ensuring that our children aren't poisoned by lead, to ensuring that communities in her district that are Black and brown aren't suffering from, you know, the effects of greater disasters and things like that. So I think she's been an extremely important communicator for this issue.
One of the things that she and Senator Ed Markey, who introduced it in the press conference on Thursday, said about the bill that seemed quite important was that, in a way, this is an investment that we're going to get a return on our investment, unlike the kinds of tax breaks we give to billionaires and to corporations that end up losing the Treasury important revenue. This is a clip of the press conference on Thursday. First, we'll hear from Ocasio-Cortez and then Markey.
But I'm looking forward to really communicating that this is an investment. You know, for every $1 that we spend on infrastructure, we get a return on that investment. For every $1 that we spend on tax cuts, we get less than a dollar back. And so this is about making smart investments, and this is about making investments that actually generate returns and not lying about the fact that they generate returns. They actually generate returns.
And one thing we're going to fight for is to make sure that all the renewables, all electric vehicles, that they're getting the same tax rates that the fossil fuel industry has received for the last 100 years. That's a fight worth having. And they might consider that to be a tax increase, but that is something that we are going to try to remove from the tax rolls of our country.
And that is Senator Ed Markey. Before that, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez speaking about how the Green New Deal would be an investment. Fox News set up a panel to respond to this specific part, well, all of the Green New Deal. And I want to play the interview they did with Senator Chuck Grassley, dismissing specifically the investment part of the Green New Deal.
The federal government consumes. It doesn't create wealth. The wealth is created in the private sector. The government is a service. It doesn't produce a profit. It doesn't create jobs that create new investment and new productivity that expands our economy. Her direction would take us down the road of of an economy that's pretty constant, and how do you divide it up so more people have less? I'm interested in creating a growing economy where there's more for more people.
And that is Senator Chuck Grassley on Fox News responding to some of the a very specific aspect of the Green New Deal. My guest is Varshini Prakash, founder of the Sunrise Movement. Varshini, what do you make of Grassley's response to this? This seems sort of a standard right-wing talking point.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I'll say I just completely reject the notion that we can put all of our hopes and dreams in the private sector to get us out of this mess. We have known about the climate crisis. We have known what is causing and driving the climate crisis, largely the combustion of fossil fuels. And we need to do something significant about it. And on the precipice of great calamity, and when we have needed to do huge things in our country's past, whether it's getting millions of people out of the Great Depression and rebooting our economy, whether it is setting our sights on the moon and getting there in 10 years, whether it is going from building 3,000 to 300,000 airplanes in World War II, much of this has been driven by the public sector, and we think there's a lot of opportunity for partnership between investing in a lot of new jobs and technology and more through the government.
Let's also take a look at some of the other critiques in the mainstream. So we just addressed a right-wing critique. One mainstream critique of the Green New Deal is that President Obama had already had a version of this in the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. He didn't call it the Green New Deal. He didn't present it in this visionary way, but essentially it was a government jobs program that was based on some sort of modest changes to how we produce and consume energy. And there was too much of a backlash to it, and it didn't work. There's all these arguments. What do you make of that critique?
Sure. Well, I mean, I would actually say, and a lot of people additionally feel this way too, is that Obama's Recovery and Reinvestment Act, while it made some significant investments in green jobs, did not actually go far enough, and there weren't enough labor protections for workers. It wasn't as expansive as it actually needed to be to fully tackle the climate crisis and really also fully reboot the economy after the recession. So what we're charting out here with the Green New Deal is a much, much broader policy that actually gets us to, or vision that actually gets us to an 100% renewable energy future.
And did Obama's plan simply also just lack that important framework that could have generated greater public support? Also, it came at a time, 10 years ago, when the public was unfortunately still on the fence about climate change because we weren't seeing the worst effects of it yet.
Yeah, I mean, the Obama administration wasn't even really talking about climate change very much at all. And it certainly was not forever binding climate action to economic security and racial equity as well. And so I think that's a huge thing that's changed in the last decade. Another thing that Senator Markey said a few times to me, I was also his guest at the State of the Union last Tuesday, and he mentioned to me as we were talking beforehand was that the thing that has changed the most in the last decade is that we now have a quite literally an army of young people outside the halls of Congress who are ready to both hold our politicians' feet to the fire and at the same time also champion and flank the politicians who are doing who are taking the courageous and bold action that we need in this moment. And so we have 5,000 plus people who tuned into a national live stream when we unveiled our grassroots campaign for a Green New Deal on Tuesday night. And actually this Monday through Wednesday, we're going to have over 650 office visits in over 41 states to get additional co-sponsors, to get additional people signed on to the Green New Deal resolution in the weeks to come.
Let's take on a critique from the left. And of course, there's always critiques from the left, usually to the tune of, well, it doesn't go far enough. The Sustainable Energy and Economy Network put forward the same week that the Green New Deal was formally announced, an Oregon plan, so state-level plan for a Green New Deal, saying that it should build on the recent victory in the Northwest in King County, Washington, where there was a local victory that had a moratorium on fossil fuel infrastructure. And the critique says that missing from the proposal for the Green New Deal was any mention of fossil fuels or a phase out in fossil fuel consumption, despite the fact that fossil fuels are at the heart of the problem the plan proposes to address, climate change. How do you respond to that?
All of these critiques and conversations have been immensely productive, at least for the most part. I think it's true that we, you know, Sunrise's position, and I know I've also heard this from members of Congress, is that we need to be getting to an 100% renewable energy future as fast as possible, and that that includes a phase out of fossil fuels over time and stopping burning the coal, oil, and gas that are contributing to pollution and to the climate crisis. So, I do think that that is a priority, and I think as we see the legislation actually starting to get rolled out over the next year, we'll see a significant amount of energy and time devoted to that question.
Right. I mean, this is a blueprint for a broad vision for what's to come. The details could certainly encompass those sorts of demands about fossil fuel infrastructure, right?
And one, I mean, we're talking about getting to 100% clean and renewable in 10 years. Like, there's actually no way to do that without phasing out fossil fuels. So I do believe that it is inherent, and I think it will get more clearly communicated as well in the next few months.
It seems, Varshini, as though this idea of a Green New Deal, the term is really effective, like Medicare for All, is finally becoming one of those buzz terms that has broken into the mainstream with just the right set of conditions, the powerful grassroots movement from below, the eloquent spokespeople, you know, that are actually in Congress and have political power, a sort of perfect storm in a good way for such programs to actually become reality. And yet you have Trump at the top, who is obviously going to squash any anything progressive, anything that could actually be constructive, unless it supports his agenda. How does one make such a thing a reality with the Republican Party having power in the Senate and also having power in the White House, specifically with Trump?
That is a very real issue and something we are definitely going to have to come up against. So here's the thing, is that the Green New Deal already has bipartisan support. Over 90% of Democrats support it, and actually over 64% of Republicans support it. So I actually think this is an issue where both the party's bases are far ahead of the establishment on the issue. And these ideas like investing in renewable energy, massive job and wealth creation for the middle and low income classes, getting toxic pollutants out of our atmosphere is super popular with a majority of people. There was this article in the New York Times that came out a couple of days ago talking about how Republicans are actually more concerned about climate change than their elected leaders might represent and show. So we actually feel a lot of hope in this being a bipartisan issue, and will continue to drum up as much public support, clamoring in the outside, bringing millions of people both to vote and also engaged in grassroots action for a Green New Deal. There is a very real question about who's in office right now, and I think the big effort over the next 2 years is both going to be ensuring that the Democratic Party and its leadership, particularly presidential contenders, are talking about a Green New Deal, not as a buzzword or paying lip service, but discussing it in substance and embracing this resolution that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Markey have put forward, and then ensuring that politicians on the GOP side and others who have received copious amounts of money from the oil and gas industry or who are, you know, rabid climate deniers are no longer allowed to hold the reins of power in Congress. So a big effort for Sunrise and many others over 2020 is going to be creating the political conditions such that something like a Green New Deal or its you know, parts can pass.
Let's talk about the organization that you founded, Sunrise Movement, that really gained fame with the powerful sit-ins that you've been conducting and all the other work. But the sit-ins have been so visible in the halls of Congress, in the offices of Democrats like Nancy Pelosi, where you've flooded these halls of power with young people, many people of color in making these demands. What is the ultimate goal of the Sunrise Movement, and how can people support the work you do? I know that you have a Sunrise Movement Education Fund that people can make tax-deductible donations to support the work you're doing.
Yeah, we have we do both work on the C3 side with what you were talking about, the Sunrise Movement Education Fund, but we are also a political organization and would encourage folks to donate in that vein as well. You can do that in sunrisemovement.org/donate. And you can also get involved at sunrisemovement.org. Our goal is to essentially build an army of young people big enough that we can stop the climate crisis and create millions of good jobs for our generation. And our strategy for the next couple of years is to make the climate crisis through Green New Deal a top political priority for politicians in America, an inescapable, unavoidable issue, and build both. You know, we have the public support, we have the technology, the solutions are ready to go, and the biggest thing that we're missing right now is the political will. So we're going to be building both the mass movement of support and the political will for the real solutions to the climate crisis. Mm-hmm. And you should 100% join us because we are going to need every single person that we can.
Varshini, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck to every to you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Sonali. It was a pleasure to be here.
My guest is Varshini Prakash, founder of the Sunrise Movement. We've been discussing the Green New Deal resolution introduced by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ed Markey. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.